But you shall make, in your Bible, tassels. The Hebrew word is gedalim. G-E-D-I-L-I-M, which you have on your glossary, and it is the plural form. I put gedil, the singular form, next to it, on the four corners of your garments with which you cover yourself. Okay, so you got three basic words. You have zitzit, petil, and gedalim. Now, zitzit, the word zitzit is used in the book of Yehezkel, chapter 8, verse 3. Yehezkel chapter 8, verse 3. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. A lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions. Brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. Where you have the word hair there. Hair is zitzit. It is not the only word in Hebrew for hair.
So hair, zitzit can be translated as hair.
Only two places in the Bible do you have the word zitzit. Numbers 15 and Ezekiel 8. But as a requirement that your zitzit have the appearance of hair hanging down. Based upon that passage. Yes?
The zitzit there don't have the ones that you have.
No. No, but we will discuss that. Referring to this verse, the Talmud tells us that zitzit are a group of freely hanging strings resembling a lock of hair. So we have the first requirement of zitzit. They must contain a number of loose strings. Now this part of the zitzit is called the anaf. So loose hanging strings, yes. I'm sure that when you got into working with it, it definitely would. I just don't know how to work it as it goes at this time. Okay? Now, the Torah then tells us, you shall place on the corner, zitzit, a twist, that's the word petil, of blue wool. Petil means specifically a twisted string. But, to complicate things, and we have lots of complications that come up tonight. To complicate things, you have three other connotations of this word. The first is that of winding. And from that we derive the fact that one of the strings must be wound around the rest. Which is what you see here. That's the string that is coming down, wound around the rest. And the Torah specifically states that it should be placed on the corner zitzit. The zitzit refer to the loose threads and the pestle, or winding, is placed over and around them. The threads are first hung to form loose strings, or zitzit. Then we take another string and wind it on them. In ancient times, when the blue thread was still used, it was the string used to make most of the winding. Which here, we'll take these out in a little while. We have zitzit that are done with tekelet. And you can see how that these have been wound with the blue thread. Now, the second connotation is that of two threads twisted together. It's one reason why each of the tzitzit strings is made out of two threads twisted together like a rope. Now, you want to have this down. According to Jewish law, a string is always defined as being twisted out of two or more threads. When we get to the veils, it becomes very important. The third connotation of the word patil is that it means to be bit and to be joined. So it also denotes a double string. From this, we learn that the strings are doubled. As you can see, I have four strings here, four strings that have been doubled, making eight strings. By the way, in other places where we find tehillot used on garments, such as in the priestly garments, they were always doubled in the same way. Now, we mentioned about the Torah says that you shall make gedalim or tassels on the four corners of your garments. And for that reason, tzitzit are worn only upon four-cornered garments. You can't wear it on a round garment. It has to have four corners for tzitzit to be worn. Yes?
Ancient Israel, they were made right into the garment.
They are.
You said those are removable.
Okay, that's a matter of ancient law, but it will be exactly the same way with these. They have to be attached to the garment, but that is considered permanent. Okay, just hang on a little bit, because the technical part won't be that much more. The singular word, gadil, means hair or strings bound together to form a tassel, braid, or rope. Obviously, a single string, even if doubled and twisted, would not be called a gadil or tassel. It must therefore refer to a minimum of two doubled strings. The word used in the Torah, gedalim, is a plural. Therefore, there must be a double tassel in each corner. This is an allusion to the fact that the tzitzit must contain four doubled strings. Gedil is singular, and singular is two. Gedalim in plural is four. So you have four doubled strings. Now, as we mentioned, the loose strings hanging down are called the anaf. The upper section is called the gedil, G-E-D-I-L. Let me write that in. The upper section is the gedil or the gedalim. That would be from your knot to your knot. The gedil consists of one-third of the length of the entire tzitzit, and the anaf, the other two-thirds. The only reason that they have is it looks better. Okay, from the time of Moses, they had to be knotted to the garment. Okay, now note that it comes immediately in the Torah, the passage that we saw out of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11, the sha'at nets, where you cannot mix wool and linen together. Let me read this to you. Everything in the Torah has a reason, even its order. So the fact that the commandment of Shanetz is right next to that of Zitzit comes to teach us something. According to Talmudic tradition, the laws of Shanetz are set aside when one must place the blue woolen Zitzit thread in a linen talit. Okay, you have a double knot at the end of the windings. So that would be this knot right here. Makes no difference if it's a granny knot or a square knot, just as long as it's a double knot. It goes back to the ancient times to have five knots in the tzitzit. There are several different reasons for this. You want to write these down. The first reason is that each knot stands for the five books of the Torah. The second reason is that they represent the first five words of the Shema. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. Now, there are six words in the Shema. The final word is Echad, which means one. And the one is indicated by the windings, which bind all threads together in one unit. In other words, the Echad, each of the knots stand for Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai, and then the Zitzit itself is Echad, where they have all been bound together into one. There are a few other things that you need to know about tzitzit before we go on. One is that the threads of the tzitzit must have been made specifically to be used in tzitzit. It can't be used for any other reason. You have exactly the same law concerning a menorah, a Hanukkah, Sabbath candles, whatever. They are to be specifically made for that purpose. Yes. The movie about Eli Cohen?
You know, in the scene where he takes his tallit and puts it back over his head and
yes.
starts praying?
Yes.
It reminds you of a tent.
That's right.
Would that be the thing that Paul or Shaul made in the New Testament where it talks about him being a tent maker?
It's possible, because the same word was used for those that made tallitot. Okay, and also, when it talks about going into your prayer closet, the prayer closet was going inside that tallit, exactly as you saw him in the movie, where they pull it over the head. That was the prayer closet.
And it would take quite a bit of doing to make it just the tzitzit. It would take a while.
Yes, however, tzitzit are fairly easy to make. I have with me, I'm going to pass this around, I have a tzitzit kit. These are with tachalit. Now pass these around, but you take the strings and you can tie your own. You can take this particular book on tzitzit by Ari Kaplan. He gives you directions on how to make your own tzitzit, or the Jewish catalog, for instance. It gives directions on how to make tzitzit, and they even encourage young children to make tzitzit so that they will learn all that there is concerning them. Now, I'm not going to go into the different sizes, all the dimensions of the tallit or the tzitzit, but let me ask you, of the two, which would be more important, the tallit katan or the tallit? This is a tallit gadol, tallit katan, or simply, if you say tallit, it's talking about the larger of the tallit gadol. The tallit katan, correct. The small tallit is considered the more important, because it is to be worn literally all the time. Whereas the tallit, or the tallit gadol, is reserved for the morning services. It is never to be worn at night, only in the morning. In the Talit Katan, some men even go to bed with them on. No, they're only worn by the men. There's another name for the Talit Katan. It's called the Arba Kanfot. By the way, the terms, the Agadel, Tefak, and Amah are all measurements. I'm just not going to go into the time on all the measurements. Before we get off the illustration here, I'd like for you to note several things. Let me stand over here. Count with me the windings. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in your first grouping. You have 4 groupings of windings, but there's 7 there. So you're going to have 5 knots overall, 4 groups of windings, and then your second group of windings, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which gives you a total of 15. And then you have in your third set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And then in your last, you'll have 13. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So someone add those up to me of how many windings we have. 39. Okay. In the Talit Katan, it is worn over your head. And so you simply put it on generally over a t-shirt, undershirt, and then it is worn. Now, many people like to have the tzitzit to where that they hang out, because there is a commandment that you shall look upon the tzitzit. But it's not required. And so, some wear them in, some wear them out. It is up to the individual. Okay, the Talit Katan is to be at least 1 amah square or 1 cubit square, which is between 18 and 24 inches, and they like to go to the larger size, tend towards the 24 inches. Generally, a child receives a Talit Katan at 3 years old, and it is the first thing that he will be, his first major area of teaching is the Talit Katan. Yes?
Bar Mitzvah, wasn't the Talit
That depends on the congregation. In some congregations, they do not have even a man to wear it until he's married. So it depends. Some congregations, a young man will wear it once he's reached bar mitzvah age. In other congregations, it is going to depend on whether he's married or not. And it is just up to the local congregation that he attends. Right, that's Orthodox. Now, the blessing that you say as you put it on, it's the first thing that is done in the morning. In the morning, you would say, Modei Ani. You would wash your hands, go to the restroom, and then you put the Talit Katan on. The blessing would be, Brukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kirishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Mitzvah, or Mitzvat Zitzit. Okay, so you notice that the emphasis is on the Zitzit, not on the Talit. Which is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the world, or King of the universe, who has made us holy with His commandments and given us the mitzvah of tzitzit. The next thing that we'll discuss is the talit itself. Okay, now I'm going to show you some garments. These are made after the fashion of the first century. These were made by Reuben Prager in Jerusalem. Yes, I've got all this paper I got to deal with, and it's coming out on the tape, I can tell. Okay, we have several different garments that are here. Your first garment is the undergarment, and it's known as the bell garment. The bell garment. Okay. I want to put this on someone, but they need to be about my size. You got it. Now, run to do the commandment. That's right. Okay, so if you'll slip the bell garment on. Your next garment, anciently, was the tallit. And you see the resemblance of the tallit to the tallit katan that is worn today. The reason that you have a tallit katan and a tallit gadol is because people no longer wear four-cornered garments. And so as these passed out of style, are you going to make it? Okay, as these passed out of style, then the others came into existence. Now this particular one is made after the colors of someone that belongs to the priestly tribe. Oh, no, no, no. No, sit. Let's move out. Okay. Okay, let's come out in the middle. Okay, it's like a poncho. And the colors, by the way, are the blue, the purple, and the red. That would be the tekelet, and the argamon, and the chenille. Now, this is not actually tekelet that is woven into this cloth, but it is dyed like tekelet. However, this is tekelet that is on the zitzit. Now, the way that this would be done is that we would take, and I have never figured out how you do this yourself. Okay? If you can kind of hold those. And then you have a rope that comes around, and you would tie with a square knot or a granny knot. No, it doesn't have to be tekelet. Then you have your outer garment.
This is for?
This is just the normal garments of the men of the first century. And we go back even to much more ancient times. There would be very little change, say, from the time of David on up to the first century and so forth. The bell garment is very similar to like an Arab, the white garments of Arabs that you see today, of the Bedouins and so forth, the sheikhs. That comes all the way to the ground. It's appropriately called a bell garment because you slip it over your head, it's one piece, and it comes down. Now, the tallit is a one-piece garment. And there are no seams in it. It simply has the place that is cut out for the head. And you see that the zitzit are exposed. Zitzit are exposed. Yes?
Would Jesus have worn garments similar to these? You said
this would be what he would wear. Yes?
So the tallit that you see in the movies that go around the neck wouldn't...
That came into existence later. But this is the tallit of the time of Yeshua. And the tallit is the main garment that was worn by the person, and the importance of the tallit is the zitzit upon it.
Being the Messiah, he would have had to wear one, right?
That's correct.
And that's what they cast the lots for.
This is what they cast the lots for. Uh-huh.
Which part?
This part. The tallit. And when the woman grabbed the fringe of his garment... She grabbed the hem of his garment. She grabbed the zitzit.
Okay, so that was what they
That's
were.
Right. It's the zitzit that were cut off by David of Saul when he went to relieve himself at En Gedi. He went in the cave to relieve himself and he cut the zitzit off his garment. And it was a sign that the authority had been stripped from Saul. Okay?
Is it shorter in the back like this? I mean, of course, he has to have the, or the, they, those two hymns aren't more even than that?
No, they're not more even than that. This is just the...
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. There's a bonnet that goes with it. It kind of looks like a pill cap. Mine's too small, but it looks like a pill cap. And mine is made of the same material as the bell garment. And here's the belt for the bell garment. You could wear the bell garment just by itself, having taken off the tallit. This is what you see where they're fishing in Yochanan, John chapter 21. And it says that Paul had taken off his outer garment. Well, that would not only be this garment. No one would fish in this. Okay? But he had taken off the tallit and only had the bell garment on. And but you notice that when he put on his tallit in order to jump into the water to swim towards the Messiah. But you would have a belt for the bell garment. The cloth that my cap is made from is the same as that. Okay, now, you'll just be modeling for a few hours more. Now, it's preferable to make a tallit out of wool, out of white wool. And a good tallit today should measure at least 4 feet by 6 feet, which is large enough to cover a man down to the waist.
Joe?
Yes?
You said the outer garments would be wool. But the
bell garment, is it linen? No, it's not linen. You can't wear linen and wool together.
Okay, I mean, not just that they came in the same...
It's cotton.
All right.
It's cotton.
All that's cotton?
This is cotton, I believe. I believe all of this is cotton. This is hand woven, by the way, over in Israel. If you want an idea about how much a set like this costs, it's around $500. Fairly expensive. If you're like me, you build it over a series of years. And
Even the farmers worked in an environment like this?
Yes, this was the everyday. Of course, you would have, you know, your Sabbath best. And
could you wash this? I mean,
well, at $500, I don't wash it often. But I have had it cleaned before.
But I mean that. In the first century, the farmers, I mean, after they're sold, I mean, there's no commandment against washing them or anything?
No, there's no commandment against washing them. Okay, now, the tallit, this is important, is considered a garment in the fullest sense of Torah usage. On weekdays, when tefillin are worn, the phylacteries are worn, you put the tallit on first and then the tefillin. That, the reason for that is that you wear tallit on Sabbath and festivals. Tefillin you don't. So therefore God put more preeminence on the tallit and the tzitzit, and therefore it comes first. Okay, right before you put on the tallit, you would say, I'm about to fulfill God's commandment to wear tzitzit on my garment, in order that I remember and observe all the commandments, Then you would say the blessing, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al Hihatef B'tzitzit. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who made us holy with his commandments and bid us to enwrap ourselves in tzitzit. Okay, to enwrap ourselves in tzitzit. You would then drape it over your head. This is what Tom was talking about. You pull it over your head, you cast the corners of your left shoulder, so you make it, you're going to make it like an Arab driver of a camel. You throw the corner over your left shoulder. In fact, in the Talmud it says that it should be that you should enwrap himself with a tallit as the Arabs, the Ishmaelites, enwrap themselves. You are to have the tallit like this over your head for 4 seconds so that you can walk 4 cubits. Generally what you will say during this is Psalm 36 verses 8 and 11. How precious is your love, O God. Man finds shelter in the shadow cast by the corners of your tallit. They feast on the riches of your house. You let them drink your rivers of delight, for the source of life is with you. By your light we see light. Bring your love to those who know you. By your light we see light. Bring your love to those who know you, your charity to upright hearts.